the Gospels and the teaching of the Lord Jesus that we have in the Gospels are filled with all of these different paradoxes, things that the Lord is teaching us that initially, when we hear it, just don't seem to make sense. They seem to run counter to what we would expect. It's hard initially to try to reconcile it, and yet it, when you look more closely at it, you come to realize and discover that what maybe at first didn't appear to be true is much more deeply true than we knew, than we realized. Probably one of the best known of those paradoxical teachings in the gospel is where Jesus says, "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." And he teaches in such a way that it's deliberately, kind of like the parables do in their own unique way, he teaches in a way that deliberately causes our brains to say, "Wait a minute, what is that?" G.K. Chesterton, the great English convert, the great writer, really had a great wit, he wrote a lot about these gospel paradoxes, but he said, a paradox is when the truth decides to stand on its head upside down just to get our attention. And it's a really neat image, but that's what happens in the teachings of the Lord. We have that today when the Lord says to us, the one who tries to hold on to his life and save it is the one who actually loses his life, while the one who hates his life, and what he means by that in the fuller teaching, the one who hates his life, that is the one who's ready to give his life away, is the one who will preserve it for life eternal. And initially, that doesn't seem to make sense. And especially for us who have been formed and taught just by the culture that we live in, there's, I think, an extra obstacle that we encounter, because what we have been taught and trained in is a way of thinking that says, look, if you want to make the most of your life, then you be in the driver's seat. You get to choose. You have autonomy. You have freedom. Your life is a blank canvas. It's all up to you. And there's something really powerfully attractive about a lot of those phrases that we hear. It's your life. You get to choose. You get to decide. You get, out of all of these millions and billions of choices, you get to assert your prerogative. You get to find your voice. You know, when they have the debates in politics or a speech, and they give the people that are listening the little buttons and push the button when you hear something that resonates with you. These kinds of phrases resonate with us, especially as Americans. Personal autonomy, personal freedom, your life, you choose, you get to decide what you'll do. Because we're formed in that, when we hear Jesus say to us today, look, if you really want to come fully to life, the only way that's going to happen is when you actually give your life away, when you surrender it. And that runs counter to what we so often hear. And there, while there is attractive stuff in that, and there is truth in that, the Lord made us with freedom. And so much of our dignity as humans is rooted in that freedom. And that's why the church over the centuries has wanted to speak out against any forms of government like communism, atheistic communism, and socialism that rob the individual of that freedom, of that dignity. The church speaks out against that. But the danger, there are hidden dangers when we take those things that resonate, that some of those phrases I just shared, when we take them to the extreme. Meanwhile, in what the Lord teaches us, initially that we might kind of receive those as, no, Lord, that what you're saying sounds too limiting. If I don't put myself at the center and kind of choose my own path, then I think that maybe that what you're offering is too constraining. We receive it that way, but in fact, in it, what he's teaching is tremendous freedom, while what initially sounds appealing actually has just great hidden dangers. The life that I would make for myself, if I welcome to its extreme that whole idea, like, look, Eric, you've got every choice possible is opened up before you, and you go ahead and make the decisions. You be in the driver's seat entirely in your life. You build it however you want to build it, but know that it's you. You get to do this. Initially attractive, but I wonder in that is taking that to its extreme and trying to live that out, is that part of the reason why so many of our teens and our young adults carry so much anxiety and fear and worry? Why is it that we see so many of our college-age young adults standing before life utterly paralyzed, unable to step out boldly? Like, it's the exact opposite is happening. You know, our youth and our young adults have lived and grown up in a time when they've heard and our culture, and we have said to them, you get to do whatever you want to do. And initially it sounds like, oh my goodness, I can't wait. Like, it seems like the recipe for boldness, only in the end, so many of our youth and young adults are standing before life and they're like, I can't do it. What if I make the wrong choice? What if I step out and it's the wrong direction? The hidden danger in that approach to life where it's all me and it's whatever I want to make of it, one of the fruits of that seems to be, in the end, a life that's paralyzed. I can't do it. Like, it's too great of a burden for me to bear. It's a huge, real, but hidden danger when I decide it is all up to me. I get to be the determiner of everything in my life. The other thing that the great danger in that approach is this. It runs counter to the part of the deepest way that God made us. The study of the human person from God's point of view is what we call theological anthropology. It was one of my favorite classes in seminary. It's the study of the human person in light of what God has revealed about us. But being made for love, you know, love is meant to give itself away, right? Love is not about what do I get out of it? How do I benefit most from this? Real authentic love is giving yourself away for the good of the other and for the glory of God. And a life that's me-focused, where I am at the center of everything, where I make it all about me, I will never fully be happy there, because that runs counter to the deepest way that God made me. The way that the church speaks about this, the way that Pope John Paul II often spoke about it was this. He said, you, as God made you, he made you so that your life can be a gift back to God. There's a deep fundamental part of you that the way that God made you is you were made to be given away. And John Paul, and we find it by way of him in the Second Vatican Council, some beautiful teachings that basically said, man will only ever find himself when he gives himself away as a gift back to God and to others. John Paul used marital language. He said there's a nuptial meaning even to the body. It's meant to be given away in love. We will only find ourselves fully when we do that. And that's what Jesus is talking about today. The one who desperately clings to his life, who makes it all about him, what do I get out of it? How am I going to benefit? The holding on to everything in a way that ultimately is more selfish, Jesus says, you'll never find life in that. You won't. The only way that you'll find the fullness of life is to give yourself away. And Jesus shows us that in the greatest way on the cross. He speaks of himself using that image of the grain of wheat. Unless the grain of wheat falls to the ground and is buried and seems to have died, only when that happens to the grain of wheat, to the seed, will it actually then become fruitful. And it's just this beautiful mystery. What seems to be death, the giving away of oneself to God and neighbor in love, what seems to be death actually bears the greatest fruit. It's most alive. We were made that way. So the church gives us these readings today as we're drawing closer and closer to the heart, the deepest part of Lent. And Jesus, even though the cross is veiled now, he's saying to us, look at me, look at what I've done, and remember the big picture, that in this act of giving myself away, I am actually pouring out into the world the fullness of life. And he's saying to us, don't be afraid to follow me into this. Make of your life that gift that it was meant to be. Don't think that only in desperately clinging to and holding on to your life in that selfish way, don't think that that's going to be the way that you find your greatest fulfillment, the fullness of life. And I think the Lord would say, especially to our youth and to our young adults, know that I have a plan for you. Know that at the moment I made you, I already had a beautiful particular way that I was going to call you and lead you to give yourself away. And so rather than being paralyzed before that life as if it's all up to you, let me show you. Put your life into my hands and I'll lead you. And know especially that in those moments where you're giving yourself away that most may most appear to be a failure in the eyes of the world, set aside worldly perfection. Don't let that paralyze you. But know that it's often in those moments that seem to be the greatest failure that I'm going to be at work. There's so much freedom in what the Lord teaches us. It takes the burden off of us. Like, what am I going to make of my life? How am I going to do it perfectly? And the Lord is like, I'll lead you through that. But it starts with you giving your life back to me and letting me lead you. So in this deepest part of Lent now, we want to pray and ask the Lord for that grace to be able to unite ourselves with him and to give ourselves away with him, back to the Father, back to one another in love. This is the great paradox. Only in giving my life away will I find the fullness of life. And the Lord, as we move toward Holy Week, is saying, don't just watch me do this from the outside, but join me in my heart and do this with me, because only then will you come to the fullness of life that I've made you for.